Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David, Jay, and Vicki will meet with Mr. Jared Hankins, principal of Webster County High School in Dixon, Kentucky. And our topic is the importance of FFA for our youth. As always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hello.
David, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
David always gets spoke to first, I think, because I'm looking right across the table.
I always just wait for him to say something first.
Well, I do want to say that I did find some cough drops in Webster County. I did have to stop in Providence, but I did find some cough drops, cherry-flavored Hall's cough drops in Webster County. And if anybody's been following our show for any length of time, you know that you can't find those in Dixon.
And cool. You also know that David needs those. So it's an issue when we don't, when you can't find them.
It is an issue. It is an issue.
Yes.
One of those things that we have to make this show a success is cherry, Hall's, cough drops.
The strawberry ones are even better, but they're harder to find. Mm-hmm. I have found that they're harder to find.
So. Well, if you can't get cherry cough drops in Dixon, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to find strawberry.
Well,
either.
I didn't even look.
Yeah.
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Providence for the win.
Yep, absolutely.
They probably don't say that.
Good Mexican food and the McDonald's.
That's right.
Two things in Providence.
Even that's working right. In Madisonville, if I ever need to slip out for a lunch by myself and work on something, maybe a phone call or something like that, Providence is a good, it's close enough for me to slip off to.
Yep.
As you said, eat a good lunch.
So. Yep, that's right.
Well, we've got a guest with us today, Mr. Jared Hankins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We understand that you have a long past history with Vicki, especially with her daughters when it comes to your school experience. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in this role?
So I am a lifelong resident of Webster County. Graduated from Webster County High School in 2001 and went to Murray State. Went to Madisonville Community College first, and they had a dual credit program they were starting up, kind of a feeder program for Murray State, and did that for a little while, and then went to Murray State, graduated there in 2006, and was fortunate to be able to come back home in the fall of 2006 to begin teaching at Webster County High School. I was an ag teacher there for 12 years. And although Vicki and I were from the same place, you know, difference in age and things like that, I didn't know her very well. I knew of her, but didn't know her very well until started teaching ag at the high school. And then we collaborated on a lot of stuff throughout my 12 years of teaching ag. You know, youth ag days, Wade, the 4-H agent, and I got to know each other because we both worked with our NRCS office on land judging and just, you know, that youth ag programming that all of us were very involved with and invested in. And so I just developed a great working relationship with Vicki, and then I had her daughter in high school. As the ag teacher, and then had her other daughter come through high school as I was serving as principal. So, and then getting working, you know, starting at the farmer's market, working in that venture together too. So, like I said, there's been a lot of time, a lot of conversations that Vicki and I have had over the years.
That is very correct.
And then she was on my site-based council when I was principal and moved out of the ag teacher role. She was my parent rep on there. So, even out of my realm in ag teaching world, Vicki and I even work together. So
that's typically the way good volunteers work.
Once
you get used to
small town life, right?
They tend to get rolled into a lot of different roles.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Well, that's interesting. What if I can ask? What made you want to go into ag education?
So going back, education in general, I don't know why exactly. Like, I don't come from a family of educators or anything like some people's story. And as early as I can remember, going back fifth grade, we had this thing where we went to, it's called the Reality Store. You had a list of possible careers. And for whatever reason, I want to be a teacher. I don't know why. Maybe the coaching aspect of it. I really don't know. And so, you know, I remember I wasn't always the best student or the best kid, but some of my buddies, you know, like we would, it's like which one has, because you get a paycheck, you know, and you get to buy whatever you can, just like, you know, budgeting. And so all my buddies would look, it's like lawyer, doctor, you know, picking the one with the highest salaries and then just buying all the stuff that you could with that. But for whatever reason, I had kind of like that little inner nerd moment where I wanted to make it truly beneficial just to see mm-hmm. what it would be like. So I chose teacher so that I could see what it would be like to operate on teacher's financial situation. And I ended up having to sell my vehicle back because I couldn't pay all my bills. For whatever reason, I still continued on that path. So I was going to be a teacher. And I've always been, you know, very interested in and self-proclaimed, I say nerd about a lot of things, but just interested in it and like that hunger for it and stuff. So I got a little sticker that says ag nerd and just stuff like that. So I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but so I've always kind of been a self-proclaimed history nerd. I love, you know, documentaries on the History mm-hmm. Channel, you know, Bible trivia type stuff and just all those types of things. So I was going to be a history teacher and a coach. And I didn't even play, you know, sports at high level in anything. So I don't even know why I thought I would be a coach either. But anyway, I began working for a local tobacco farmer when I was maybe a junior in high school and worked here locally on farms. They had tobacco, cattle, things like that. And just the camaraderie. Most people don't look back fondly on tobacco work. But I worked for some great people and had some friends. I mean, we cut up and we had a good time. It was hard work, but we had such fun, you know, goofing off and cutting up while doing it that we enjoyed it. And so we just had a good time, got to know them, and became involved in agriculture. And like a lot of people, I didn't realize how closely involved with agriculture I was growing up. You know, I was raised here in Webster County. My stepdad was a coal miner. And then my dad is a horse trainer in Bourbon County outside Lexington. And I always loved being around horses and stuff like that growing up. And I hated hay. Most people hate tobacco. I despise working in hay. Yep. Tobacco's sticky, but hay sticks you, you know. Yep. And so I would choose tobacco over hay any day. And but, you know, once I got involved in agriculture and I told you I went to MCC, Madisonville Community College, to start the ag program there. Well, he was starting that program. He had been an extension agent in Tennessee and had come back and done something in Kentucky as well. And then he was hired to start the ag program at Madisonville Community College. He knew that I was interested in being a teacher, and he was talking to me, you know, about my interests and love for agriculture and kind of talked me into pursuing that path. And that's what I did. Never really looked back. I enjoyed it. I loved my years as an ag teacher. And FFA, you know, all the work I did and great relationships that I developed with students along the way, still something I finally look back on and miss. So
yeah, I bet it's a bit less stressful than the job you have now, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You know, like I don't know that I was much less busy when I did that. It may have been a more enjoyable busy.
Sure, right.
Well, you know, I've said this before, and we've all of us that's worked in agriculture or been a part in agriculture and any capacity, whether it's farming or like what we do, working in ag, and you all farm too, and or teaching or whatever the case may be, it's just a different feel. I mean, it's just when you're in ag, it's, you know, and I think that's, it's a way of life. I think that's the best way to say it. I think we've said that before, and it is a way of life. And you alluded to, it's not always an easy way of life.
Mm-mm.
You know, farming's not easy.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I think people that don't farm want to be a farmer until they actually try to farm.
Yeah.
You know,
it looks good from the road.
It looks fun from the road, but when you actually start farming, it's a whole lot harder than what it looks like it is, but it's still a good life. And once you've been a part of it, you want to stay a part of it in whatever capacity that you can.
And Jared's right. I mean, when he was talking about the tobacco, there's a lot of aspects that I hated about tobacco, but there was a few of the activities that we did with the tobacco that I really miss.
Well, and I think the memories, because now that my dad's not here anymore, now that he's gone, you know, I can still think back of when I was a little girl, you know, and going in the stripping room there and then helping strip tobacco and being in the fields and just now the memories thinking back about that. And I think that's special too, to a lot of people, because everybody's got those stories.
Yep.
And there seems to be a lot with tobacco.
Yeah.
One thing I always was not fond of, you know, some people love working in the barn. And I did like working in the barn when I got to work up in the barn. But I was tall, so guess what my job
you
was?
You touched every stick.
Every stick. I unloaded it off the wagon and handed up to the bottom tier folks. So,
You know, my brother is taller than I am. And I always enjoyed him when he worked above me. because when I could just barely raise a stick up, and he just reached down there and grabbed it, you know. And I thought, man, this is all right. I barely have to pick it up, you know, off the, you know. And when I was working the bottom tier, so I worked the bottom tier a lot, if especially with him, because he could reach down there. And the only thing I didn't like is he drug the tails across my face every time he did it, you know. So that's the only thing that made me mad about it.
I could work anywhere in the barn, like kind of like your brother, you know, being down towards the bottom. You do a little bit better when you're tall like that. But I never did mind working on the wagon. It was always my preferred spot. Mm-hmm. I was long enough armed that I could be sticking up a stick and grabbing another one at the same time. And that benefit.
Yeah, those are memories that you know, the good thing about agriculture and those things, it does teach you that work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get out in the real world, if we'll go there, activities that are involved in FFA and things that happen on a farm really teach you a work ethic that you really can't get that anywhere else. I don't think
you can't.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and farm kids have opportunities that other kids don't have to start working earlier and start that work ethic earlier than what other, you know, other kids do. Mm-hmm. Because
I'll add to that, I think they get the opportunity to develop responsibilities.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot sooner than a lot of other kids too. Yeah. You know, especially if you're working with livestock or if you're working with anything that's helping your family make a living, there is a level of responsibility there that just may not be bestowed upon every child.
That's right.
You know, and I know school has changed so much even since, well, it's been a long time since I was in school, you know, and Jay too, for that matter. But, you know, the work ethic you see from those farm kids, and obviously there's not as many farm kids as there used to be, but, you know, it. I always felt like when we were in school, you could tell the kids that were from the farm quick. You know, and the kids that weren't from the farm that didn't have that opportunity, because back when Jay and I were kids, you know, we had opportunities to drive the tractor, people picking up hay and tobacco. And I mean, when we were little kids, it wasn't, you know, we weren't teenagers. I mean, we were little kids and got to do all those kind of things. So,
yeah, it's very evident early on for those teachers, especially ag teachers that kind of know that realm. It's very obvious who those kids are, and often some of the most well-behaved kids. You know.
Sure. Yep. Sure.
Yep. Yeah, I've been threatened with a tobacco stick more than once.
Maybe it was more than threatened.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Well, you know, we talked about agriculture, and now, you know, FFA, you mentioned that. And I know back several years ago, all of the FFA kids, we'll say, were farm kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when I was there, you did not have students taking ag classes that didn't have some pretty close connection to agriculture.
Yeah.
And as Jared alluded to, my daughter was in FFA, and when he was the advisor, and that was not the case when she went through, because there was several students that went through FFA with her that did not have a direct connection to agriculture. And I think that has really been a shift over the years to FFA and to ag. But I think that is probably because of the things that we've been talking about in a roundabout way here, is because of the skills and the leadership and even teaching work ethic or ethic in general.
Mm-hmm.
That is a standard in FFA.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd like to hear your comments about, you know, what do you about that?
Yeah. So, I think the ag industry, you know, became very diverse pretty rapidly. And so what I would tell people a lot of times when we were in class, you know, we don't talk a lot about farming in ag, and you don't necessarily, and ag, I'll give credit to the national and especially state folks too, but FFA did a really good job of changing with the times. Mm-hmm. So when the percentage of the population that actually is hands-on involved in farming started to dwindle, that name recognition, you know, FFA hasn't been referred to as future farmers for years and years and years.
I mean, 88, 89.
I was about to say, I don't want to screw up this point because I taught it and tested a lot of kids over, but I'm pretty sure 1988 is when they changed it from the Future Farmers of America to the National FFA organization. So they kept the FFA letters for notoriety and, you know, that image likeness, like they didn't want to completely change. But they have it hasn't had that same acronym. Mm-hmm. And so as that percentage of the people that are actively involved in farming began to dwindle, they kind of began to change with the times. And so I think the connection, though, that all those kids who weren't directly involved on the farm, like you're talking about directly, they had people above them that were their parents, their grandparents. Mm-hmm. So the people that have come through in your day when it was almost all ag people, hands-on involvement in agriculture, when they have kids, you know, they may not live on the farm or work on the farm like their parents did, but they know what a good experience they had in FFA. So that gets passed down. And I've literally heard people tell kids who had zero interest, so they thought, in agriculture, it's like, you're taking FFA. FFA ain't even a class. It's it's the, the group or organization associated with ag classes, but that's what they tell them. You're taking FFA. And I was obviously okay with them
and
telling
their
kids. And
I've heard many parents say that.
And so, you know, I had a principal that made his daughter take it because he was so supportive and was so, you know, firsthand able to see what our kids were doing and accomplishing and, you know, the successes that they had. And you know, I appreciated that, that it was valued. But I think that's what it is because those people, although you get further and further away from the farm, you have those fond memories and those experiences and getting to travel and do those things. So they want their kids to have that experience. How how bad are we about that? We want our kids to be able to have the same experiences, the good ones, that we had. So it's like, you're going to take that class. You're going to do these things. When are you supposed to order your FFA jacket? Hey, when you go, are you going to national convention? Like, kids don't even know what national convention is, and they're asking me, do I get to go to that? When is that? You know, and I think that's wise because their parents, their grandparents, they had those experiences, and they want those children to have the same experiences in their high school days.
And we parents that went through ag, FFA, then our kids come through and we're all learning the creed again, too. Did y'all experience that, too?
I did.
Yeah, because, you know, we had to learn the creed when we went through. And then over time, we've kind of maybe forgot a little bit about it. And then our kids start going through again. And then it's like right then again, you're back to quoting the creed again.
Yeah. And it was, I was responsible for some family arguments too, because the creed changed.
That's exactly right.
You know, the kid would stand up there and, or they would correct their parents. They're like, their dad's like, I still know creed. I believe in a future of farming. They're like, no, dad, that's wrong. I ain't either. It's not. Well, you know, now it's, I believe in the future of agriculture. And so it's just, it's funny. Kind of the whole family roots, and I always love that component too.
You know, I graduated in 1988, so that tells you that I was right there in the middle of all that, and I really at the time kind of resented the fact that they changed that, because when I got my American, to me, my American farmer degree, it was the American FFA degree, and I was a little bit upset about that, because that's what I wanted to be known as, an American farmer. But you know, they did the right thing, because they had to change with the times, because we have gotten away from so many kids living on a farm or being involved in agriculture directly. There are a plethora of you know, other jobs that that can be attributed to agriculture, and you know, when FFA, the national organization, did a great job of changing with the times and moving away from maybe so much production agriculture. There's still that component that you can have, but they did such a great job of moving away from that.
And what I always would tell people is, you may not have a lot of the traditional production agriculture, the farming, I said, but all these other things, think of it like a wheel. It's always the hub. So that is where it all starts. It's still vitally important, because I never, while I was trying to, I don't know, I'm almost kind of like schizo in my own mind. Like, you don't ever want to say the wrong thing to turn off, you know, kids or, you know, whatever, make them think that you don't appreciate it. So while you have to move forward with the times, you can't do that without respecting that past and what is responsible for the organization, you know, those roots of it. So while I would always talk about how production is so much more than farming, I would always emphasize it still starts with farming. You know, yep. like you have the ag industry that is all these things and so many other aspects of the ag industry, you know, much higher percentages of the jobs and the workforce and things like that. But that super low number, less than 2%, is still where it all starts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have that hub and then everything else spurs from that. And so I always wanted to kind of stay true to the past and where it all began, even though it was so much more diverse nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, that's still the core. That's still where it starts. Yeah. And that's still your workhorses in the organization too. You can never venture. And that's where, you know, we're fortunate in my mind because we're in a rural area. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think like the real urban areas struggle even more so than we do to get, you know, a lot of kids yep. to take ag classes because a lot of them have zero connection mm-hmm. Or family members even that are connected to it. But, you know, we could always relate and we can always do that. But, you know, you can't just be so much focusing on the diversity of the industry that you totally forget about that segment of the population, yep. you know.
Yep.
And we're always saying, you know, in agriculture that we need to tell our story. We yes. need to be a voice for agriculture. We need to connect the dots for people that are further removed from agriculture. And I think with this shift that FFA made and changing with the times, that allowed a lot of students that are removed from agriculture, so to speak, for them to hear the ag stories and then for them to connect the dots for themselves that no, my parents don't actively farm. Their livelihood is not coming directly from farm income or an ag industry, but they can see how the ag industry does affect them mm-hmm. and how everyone is related in one way or another.
Yeah,
you know, it's really refreshing, to be honest with you, to hear somebody talk the way you do, because you know, we're all involved in organizations that, you know, sometimes they forget the things that folks did in the past
mm-hmm.
and all the hard work that they did in the past to get them to the point that they're at now, but yeah. they don't seem to you know, and the younger generation doesn't understand that a lot of times, and it's really refreshing to hear you talk like mm-hmm. that. I appreciate that.
It embodies the creed, though.
Yeah.
Achievements right. won by the present and past generations of agriculturists. Right. And exactly. so I was a nerd about that too, you know, just the creed and the meaning of it and all those things. I, you know, yep. it's good stuff.
I was scared to death when I did the creed. Of, you know, when we had to, oh, yeah. I said, oh my gosh, this is, you know, you look at all those prayers, you go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff to remember.
yeah. I but think it's just 386 words.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
But once you get it down, I mean, mm-hmm. I still remember parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the old school parts of it yeah. that I'm remembering.
yeah.
Well, a funny story about the creed is at Webster County High School, I don't know if they still do this or not, but when my oldest daughter went through, Shelby, she is a bit competitive. And I'm being a little sarcastic there because she's a lot competitive.
And she had a very competitive advisor.
And yes, and her advisor, Jared, was also competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But at Webster County High School, when it came time for the creed contest, the first person to recite the creed correctly got the FFA jacket free.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, but as soon as Shelby Shadrick heard that, that jacket was going to be hers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, she came home, and when I say we all learned the creed again, we all learned the creed again that weekend. And she learned the creed.
Yeah.
She did indeed get the jacket, and then she went on to be the regional winner that's for funny. Our area.
See, I thought that's the story you were going to tell. Yeah. That's why I told her myself and said I was competitive.
Well, I'll let you go ahead. You can tell that story, Jared. But.
Well, we have our the Green River region that we were in. They do a like the ones down by Murray, mm-hmm. that area, region, whatever. They go and do all their speaking contests in the spring. Well, when we moved into the Green River region, they do the freshman night in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it worked out good as far as kind of about the time you're finishing up. You know, we always started our intro or principles of ag class with FFA history, the creed, things like that. And so about the time you finish up all that, it's in December, there's a freshman night. And so the bad part about it, I guess you'd say, is you have, you know, the junior parley, or I think it's called like junior conduct of meetings or something like that. Now they changed the name of it. And Creed and, you know, FFA Quiz Bowl and all those things are on the same night. And our region was good about incorporating the shop aspect into it too, because those are your more traditional ag students, shop boys, so to speak. And so they do a freshman skills contest, let them drive a nail on a board, saw a board with handsaw, stuff like that. And so I was, again, admittedly, very competitive. You know, I wanted, if I'm going to do something, you know, I want to win. And not, I don't think, in a toxic way, like not cheating or anything like that. But it's like, I want to put in the work, and I loved it, not for myself, but just for the kids, you know, to see them win. And it's great, admittedly, for your program, you know, to build that success. You know, people want to be involved with something that is that culture of success. And so we were at the freshman night, and Shelby was on junior parley. And, you know, that's a big team, and it's a lot harder to prepare for. You know, you got to know if the participating judge is going to stand up. You like, you have to know how to handle those parliamentary abilities. And so just so much time and effort goes into practicing for that. And, you know, you have, depending on the team or the contest, you know, 6 to 10 people that you're trying to kind of get in sync and doing that contest. And we had gone and done the junior parley, which Vicky's daughter Shelby was on. And I think just that, you know, doing well in that and having a good run through in that, and just like that, you know, that piece, the letdown after the competition's over.
Right.
Well, and she was supposed to be my Creed speaker. And she comes up to me after we compete in junior parley and it goes well. And they're probably stewing and nervous, you know, wondering if they won. And she's like, I just can't do it. I'm not going to do the Creed. I'm like, yes, you are doing the Creed. And she's like, well, no, I can't do it. I'm like, listen, you knocked everybody else out of this opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you're the one, you're not going to get up here when someone else could have come and done it.
Yep.
And I did all this out of love. Yeah. You know that.
And I told him he could do it.
Yeah, because she was there, I think. Yeah. Weren't you?
I wasn't there.
No, there was another extension agent that was judging.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And I said, no, you're not backing out. You won. Mm-hmm. You're here. If you weren't going to do it, someone else could have come and done it. And since you're here, you're doing it.
Do it.
And she went in there and she won. So it's just one of those life stories that I love, because I came out looking right. You know, you know, if she'd gone in there and cried and did terrible, then I would have felt bad about it. But it's one of those things that I can look back on and smile.
Yeah. And she was like, okay. Yeah. That's what she, you know, like, okay.
You know, my ag teacher, we inducted him into the
Ag Teachers Change Lives.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I had the opportunity to give his little introduction or whatever, you know, and I told lots of stories on him that, you know, that were all good, of course. But, you know, he got up there and said something that he always told us. And he said, always take advantage of the opportunities that FFA provides. Yeah. And I don't know of any other organization that provides as many opportunities as the FFA does. And I mean, it's just a multitude of things that you can be involved in. Yeah. But I encourage those kids today and other folks just to take advantage of that. I mean, it doesn't cost nothing, just a little time, you know, and it'll make you so much better. You know, I couldn't get up in front of people and speak and do different things and like this and radio and do different things like that. There was no way I could have done that without FFA.
Yeah.
No way.
No, it is great at what it does, you know. And that's why, just, again, talking about the diversity of it. I mean, you have everything from your most traditional farm boy who's a shop kid. You know, you have small engines contests, welding contests, things like that, all the way up to maybe your more non-traditional, you know, honor student, great speaker who's doing the prepared public speaking, you know, and then the parliamentary procedure contests. And I mean, there is a little bit of everything, and that's what I love about it, is the diversity of it. It's not all speaking in front of people.
Right.
There's also, you know, the good hardworking farm kid that makes a ton of money, that has the nicest vehicle in the school parking lot. You have the proficiency contest, you know, where they turn in their work records and put the skills that they've developed, and you know, you don't have to say anything to anybody until you make it to the high level. Then you got to do an interview to talk about all the things on that application.
Right.
But that's just what I love, is the diversity and the type of kids that can be involved in it and be successful.
And I think we've all met some kids along the way through our jobs and through our friends, our children's friends of friends, that we've seen those come through and come in to taking an ag class and being an FFA as a freshman, and seeing how they just kind of blossom. By the time they're a senior, they have really come out of their shell. And my youngest daughter is one of those. So my oldest daughter is competitive. I'm going for this. And my youngest daughter was the one that she might be in a room with you and she might not ever say anything. Not being rude, she was just quiet. But she really, to be able to see the difference in her coming in as a freshman and leaving as a senior was really amazing to me as a parent, you know. And of course you were her principal, and I would say that you would say the same thing.
Absolutely. I was going to say that, like in my mind, I was saying when you were talking about them blossoming and growing and not even hardly recognizing them, your youngest one is a prime example of that, you know.
I mean, it did so much for her.
You know, how many of these stories, though, have you probably had over the years?
Oh, gosh. And
you think about all the different high schools that have FFA programs and youth programs like that. I mean, you know, it really does take a village to raise a kid. And, you know, and this is the opportunities that FFA provides. I had the opportunity to be a state FFA officer and got to go and do a lot of different things with them. And, of course, got my American farmer degree. But, you know, those are the opportunities those were goals that I set. I guess that's one of the things that you know, I learned through FFA was to set goals and to achieve those and kind of mark those off the bucket list. I don't have as many goals, or they're different goals now, I guess I should say, and that I have now, but I still write that stuff down, you know, and try to achieve those. So,
And I think that starts so young in the process, you know, because there was some FFA thing that I was at and I loved it, so I stole it and did it. But, you know, when they get their FFA jacket as a freshman, it was always a big deal. Get them out of the box and like unfold the jacket that is still like standing up, if you want to set it on the table, you know, like it's so kind of hard when it comes out of that box. But when we would give the kids their FFA, and it was always a big order, I tried to get as many as I could. So like junior parlor kids, Creed kids. So you'd have those early, and then there's a lot of excitement about it. So a lot of the other kids who just want to be involved in some aspect would get one. So I mean, we'd have like two or three boxes that I'd set up on the table and open up the FFA jackets. And that was always a big day, you know? And so when we would pass out the jackets, I would give them a note card and have them write down goals that they wanted to accomplish in their time in FFA. And it was awesome that, you know, those seniors would pull out those cards and show me, because we'd be on like trip to National Convention and they'd, oh, I forgot this was in here. And they'd look at it and they'd see their goals and they're like, look, this is, you know, and some of them they accomplished and some of them they hadn't. But it's still that, you know, setting goals and striving for that and all that stuff. You know, it was a special time. And seeing, like Vicky's talking about, you know, one of the, you know, most powerful times as an ag teacher for me was always the night of the banquet. Ton of work, late night, you know, long day, short turnaround before you got to be back to work the next day, and all the crap is just piled in your classroom, you know, from where everybody leaves. And it's just like, throw it in there, we'll deal with it tomorrow. But standing up there and, you know, watching those kids go through and do the banquet was always a special time. And then to hear them, we always did retiring addresses, which sometimes would, you know, take a long time to get through all, especially we had a big officer team, nine kids, but just hearing those kids talk and talk to their friends and, you know, relationships that they'd made with their other people on leadership team and stuff like that. It was always just so special to hear them highlight their FFA career, you know, and so really enjoyed that.
And how important is it for kids today to be to feel a part of something? Be a part
of
something.
Very, very important. And that's what, you know, in education, we're always telling kids to get involved. You know, from my role now as an administrator, you know, clubs, organizations, sports, because school in itself is not enjoyable to a lot of kids, you know. So what you want to do to help make that a good experience for them, number one, you want to try to do whatever you can to make school a pleasant experience. But so much of it now is out of the school's control. You know, it's the drama, it's the social media, it's the environmental factors that we can't really fix. We can help it mitigate a little bit. But so, you know, the research will show you the impact that being involved in an FFA, being involved in FCCLA, Beta Club, sports teams, you know, Skills USA, something like that at the tech school, HOSA, you know, that's why we try to push those kids to be involved in something, is because that gives you something to look forward to. It gives you a pocket of, you know, friends and, you know, mm-hmm. hopefully positive mm-hmm. influences like advisors, coaches, mm-hmm. Things like that. Because, you know, kid, it's tough growing up in the world today. I pity kid for the society that they're having to be raised in.
Absolutely.
But when you can put them in on the path and get them involved in organizations like that, or sports or something like that, you know, it's powerful mm-hmm. For them. So that's why we really try to push that.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for ag class, I'm not sure I'd have got through high school. I'll be honest with you. I'm serious. I mean, yeah. I look forward to going down to the ag department to take sure. my class. Yep. We used to have, back in those days, we had a two-hour block.
Yep.
When you got to be a junior or senior, you had a two-hour block that you we did stuff in the shop and, yep. you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but if it wasn't for that, I'm not sure I would have gotten through high school mm-hmm. because I struggled.
Yeah.
You know, and I was not a studious child
yeah.
by any means, or that well behaved either, yeah. to be quite honest. And my mom was a principal.
Yeah.
So if I tell you anything, yeah. it didn't go good. So, but you know, for kids to really like something, you mm-hmm. know, that's great. And yeah. we've got to have those opportunities for those kids to be yeah. involved in that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's what I had a kid recently tell me, you know, that band was what mm-hmm. kept them coming to school mm-hmm. in person. Yep. And so, you know, just something for them to latch onto and be involved with. Like I said, and the behind those successful programs are adults running them that often do things the right way, you know, that mm-hmm. make those connections, make those relationships. I mean, it's just a powerful thing, both for the kids and for the adult, you know.
Well, and we've said this a lot in sports, or you hear it a lot in sports, is when you're part of a team and you're part of a sport, that you're doing more than just learning to play that sport. If it's mm-hmm. basketball, you're learning more than the fundamentals of basketball or the fundamentals yeah. of volleyball or whatever.
Yeah.
And that same thing is very true of these youth organizations like FFA and 4-H mm. and all the many others. They're learning skills at that point that they're going to take further. They're going to take those to college with them. They're going to take those mm-hmm. to job interviews. And then when they are out of college and starting their career, some of those skills that they learned back in high school in those organizations are the ones that's going to stick with them through yeah. their career, and then going to teach other people those skills mm-hmm. as they come along.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, like, you know, as we're talking about the importance of FFA in high school and stuff, you could even see, you know, kind of like the feeder to FFA, how kids got started younger in 4-H. Mm-hmm. Those kids are the ones who come in. So just like kids who were successful in FFA and evolved come out more polished as high school graduates and excel in all the things that they're doing, those kids often come in with that 4-H experience, mm-hmm. are the more polished, saying the creed right out of the gate, doing junior parley, mm-hmm. as I still call it, right out of the gate. And because they were doing those things from the time they were younger. Mm-hmm. So yep. they're already more prepared and ahead and excel in those because they've been doing it longer. So,
yeah. you know, when I think of any aspect of all the things that we've talked about here, I think about something that a kid's going to need throughout their life. We all need it every day as adults, and that's the ability to take direction.
Yeah.
And I think when you were talking about starting in 4-H, that's where a lot of that starts, you know, yeah. the ability to take direction.
Yeah.
My son played sports in high school, and when he first decided he was going to do that, he come to talk to me about it, and he said, I think I want to play basketball. What do you think? I said, I think it's a great idea. I mean, without hesitation, mm-hmm. he said, why do you think I need to play basketball? And I said, well, first off, I said, I want you to get used to somebody yelling at you besides me.
That's right.
and a good coach will do that.
Yeah.
But the underlying part of that is being able to take direction
yeah.
and not resent direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's something that regardless of your age or what walk in life you decide to take, being teachable.
Yeah,
being
yep.
able to take direction yep. is something that that we see our ag kids be able to carry out in a lot earlier age.
And absolutely. Then learning, too, that the decisions that you make oftentimes don't just affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it affects it affects other people. You know, it yeah. affects your teammates. It affects the other people in the organization. And
that translates right into work.
Yes, yes it
I
does.
Mean, you get absolutely. Out of school And the things that you do and how you act and how you handle certain situations all come back to...
And the work ethic. You know,
that's right.
It's not just the work of dealing with people, but it's like, you know, what type of a worker are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of that, even if you wanted to take it a step farther, it's more than just being willing to work hard. Mm-hmm. It's being able to enjoy what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, I think a lot of kids miss that fact. Mm-hmm. And the fact, my son said to me one time, he said, you know, you get excited sometimes about going to the woods and working. He said, why do you work as hard as you do? Why do you feel like you have to do that? And I laughed at him. I said, I don't feel like I have to. I want to. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I enjoy the things I do.
Yeah.
And being able to see value in the work that you do day in and day out, I think is very, very important.
Well, and something that I don't want to forget either that is very important about it is I heard a state officer, I think, tell this one time, and you know, I would often say this, but not only does FFA help and make you more successful and you know, you get to win a lot of stuff, but it also teaches you how to lose. Because I've never, my most successful kids that I've had in FFA, you know, if they were the little rock star, I don't know any of my kids that I ever had that didn't lose something, you know, because there's so many contests. They want to do them all. You know, they want to do livestock judging and, you know, floral ID, what I mean, it's anything to get to go on that trip and have that experience with their friends and their ag teachers and stuff. And I never had a kid that didn't lose something, you know, and the interviews and just things like that. So that goes without, you know, being discussed a lot, but that is very, very important
for
a kid to learn how to take defeat, you know, and get better and still strive for it.
Yeah. You know, one of the stories, and I'll tell this real quick, but in parliamentary procedure, we were pretty good, and we won our region, went to state all 3 years that I was on the team in high school. My senior year, we placed second in the state. And so when, you know, you're up on stage and they're doing all the calling and all that stuff, and, buddy, I was pumped up. I thought we had this in the bag. But we did not, and, you know, the folks from Breckinridge County is a team full of girls. Mm-hmm. They smoked us, and, you know, and I was pretty dejected, but I was probably more disappointed in the fact that I thought I disappointed my ag teacher. Mm-hmm. And we got back to the back of the room right there where everybody was sitting, and, you know, he could tell we were all upset, and he leaned up to us and said, "Y'all really made me proud." Mm-hmm. And that probably meant as much to me as anything that I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, even though we lost, he knew that we needed that little bit of encouragement to get on with things.
That's
and
right.
And he gave it to us. And that's that's the good thing about a good ag teacher. Mm-hmm. So I had a good one.
Well, and that's true, because I think we all know, it's sad to say it, but we all know that there's kids that don't have that cheerleader for them at home.
Absolutely.
And in ag, or whether it be a coach or whether it be a teacher, you know, having somebody like you just said that has your back and they want you to be better, they may push you really, really hard to get you to see what they can already see, because you're not seeing it.
That,
I mean, you know, as a teacher and as an FFA advisor for this show, you know, because so oftentimes you're seeing what they cannot see in themselves yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you have to do to get them there. But when you do get there and you both are seeing it, that's a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the difference in somebody that's doing something that they love. Yeah, they're getting a paycheck for it.
Yeah.
But they're doing something that they love. And then from the person that is doing it to draw a paycheck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just different. And like, just like you said, David, you'll never forget that.
Mm-mm.
You will never forget that moment. And I think all of us have grew up in FFA or have been involved in it in some level. And we all have those, that moment somewhere that we're not going to forget.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to forget that and the difference that that makes in our lives.
You know, and it's not a sad thing, but he probably doesn't even remember that moment. You know, he just, it was just something he does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that had such an impact on me and such an impact on some of our other officers. You know, it's, You know, we sometimes forget how much impact we have on youth.
Absolutely.
When we're working with youth, whether that be FFA, 4-H, you know, livestock or
kid in the principal office.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's right. You know, and I sit there a lot too. But you know, you just never know the impact that you're going to have, and maybe that kid needs a second chance, or maybe that kid needs to talk to somebody. Yeah. You never know what their home life is and so it doesn't take but just a minute to be kind. It's tough for me to do at times, but you know, I guess my expectations are a little higher at times for folks, but you know, we could use that.
Well, it's only because you want the best for them,
right?
Yeah,
that's all that relates to. So I had the good fortune of having an ag teacher. You mentioned the principal's office. I had an ag teacher and an assistant principal who were married.
Oh,
so it didn't matter whose office you ended up in, the other one knew about it.
Well, it's been great. I've enjoyed this conversation. I think we all have, and I think we can all say that you know, FFA and organizations are important. And so you know, leading right into our timely tip, you know, our timely tip is, you know, get involved in those youth organizations. They make a difference. And I'm going to defer the mic over to Mr. Jared Hankins, and he can go ahead and finish this out with something that anybody from Webster County over the last few years is going to know, going to relate.
Timely tip is a blast from the past. As Vicki said, our kids will know it, but don't be average. And so, you know, average kids do a lot of things maybe they shouldn't, or don't do a lot of things that they should. You know, and whether that's multiple hours playing video games every day, multiple hours looking at your phone every day, don't be average. You know, get involved, be better than average. You know, because I don't know that anyone's ever been really proud of being average, unless you're like me and brought home a report card full of C's. You're pretty proud of that.
I guarantee it, buddy.
You might have worked real hard for those C's.
That's right. So that's my timely tip. Don't be average. Get involved in something. You know, make life enjoyable, and you can do that by seeking out opportunities to do things that you enjoy to do and activities that you enjoy to be involved in. And so we push that, like I said, from the school level. I tell people that we want every kid to have a positive high school experience. Now, what does that look like for Vicki, you know, versus me? Maybe very different things, but the important thing for me is when they look back on their experience at Webster County High School, or more specifically when I was an ag teacher, on their time in FFA, did they have a positive experience? You know, what things did they do? How did I treat them? You know, what did they feel like when they were in my room every day? And what do they feel like when they're in my office, you know, now as a principal? So that's what I want for all kids. And I love FFA and all it stands for, you know, the motto, the mission, the creed. I know all the things. I've recited it 100 times, you know, and heard it way more than that. So 12 years ag teaching, an average of probably 50 to 55 freshmen all saying the creed multiple days. It's in here, and probably won't go anywhere for a long, long time, but those words are powerful. And I think that's what the organization embodies, and the kids demonstrate, and it's just great, great, great to see. You know, and I loved it as an ag teacher when my colleagues, you know, core content would come to me and tell me there is no doubt who the FFA kids are when it comes time to do senior exit interviews, speeches in classes, things like that. And they're like, it is crazy, the difference, you know, and that always made me proud.
Sure.
Not of what I was doing, but what our kids, what they were able to do. So
I tell you what, you obviously have a lot of passion for what you do. It shows through pretty quickly. As an administrator, as a principal, I'm going to ask you to make that same statement to your teachers. Don't be average, because we can never overestimate the ability of a positive teacher on a child's life.
That's right.
So,
amen.
That's right.
Well, we appreciate you being here. I enjoyed meeting you. It was a good time.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're a pro at this. You're probably as comfortable as anybody who's ever sat down in that chair.
That's that FFA background.
That's right. There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
Practice what you preach, right?
That's exactly right. So we want to thank you for being here with us, and thank our host for this week's information, and thank our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.